that it made me the person I am today, but it also grew me in different ways that I don't think I would have if I had stayed in Ireland. Initially, it was very, very tough to have such a big injury happen out of nowhere, out of the blue. And I think that takes a toll on you mentally and physically. Ensure girls that they can play highly at a career level. And that's definitely just getting them involved in sport and allowing them to kind of thrive in those environments.
Hi there, and welcome to the podcast, The Sit Down with Sport Endorse, a show focused on exploring the mindset, motivations, and opinions of elite athletes, brands, and right holders associated with the world of sport. I'm your host, Manav Bhatia, and this podcast is brought to you by Sport Endorse, a revolutionary sports sponsorship platform where athletes and brands match with each other for commercial opportunities in a transparent and a seamless manner. If you are a company looking for elite ambassadors or an athlete interested in finding sponsors, please visit www.sportendorse.com for more information. Today, we will be talking to Hayley Nolan, professional footballer who currently plays club football for the London Lionesses and for the Irish senior national team. Hayley comes from Kildare in Ireland and at 18 moved to America on a full scholarship to play football for the University of Hartford. Hayley has a successful stint in America, captaining the Hartford Hawks team and completing her MBA in economics and finance. With that stated, it's my honor to welcome Hayley to the show. How are you, Hayley? All well?
Yeah, all good. Thank you for having me on, Manav.
Fantastic. So the show works in three segments, and the first segment is around your motivations as an elite athlete of joining the sport of football. So my research told me that you're from a very sport-minded family. Can you tell us a bit about your childhood and what motivated you to taking up football?
Yeah, of course. Like you said, my family is extremely sporty. I have two older sisters, and the three of us were involved in a lot of sports when we were younger, every sport under the sun. Like a lot of Irish families, we played camogie, Gaelic football, and then we kind of branched out into other sports like tennis, football, like soccer, played a bit of basketball, volleyball. So we kind of played every sport that you can name. And from a young age, my dad and my mom wanted us to get involved in football. And so the three of us kind of started playing for my dad's local football team. I didn't really get on much as it was an under-8s team, and I think I was about 5 at the time, so I think my dad was a bit nervous about throwing me on there with the boys. That kind of spurred my first interest in the sport, and then from then on I kind of joined a boys' local team called Kill Celtic, and I played with them up until I was about 12. So sport has definitely been kind of the main focus of my family's kind of livelihoods when we were younger.
Fantastic, fantastic. So at what age and when did you really want to play professional football?
I'm not entirely sure when I kind of got the first itch to play professional football. I just knew at the time that I really, really enjoyed the sport that I was playing. And I was playing a lot of different sports at the time. But I think football was one of my favorites along with Gaelic football. So the two of those kind of took mainly my time and my energy. I think when I was about 14, 15, I think I kind of looked at the Arsenal women's players at the time that were from Ireland, which is like Emma Byrne, Niamh Fahey, and the list can go on. And I think that was my first kind of seeing like a role model that had been from my country. And also Emma Byrne is from the area that I'm from as well. So seeing that, and I think kind of spurred my interest into going into professional football, not knowing that it actually could be a career until later on.
Okay. You were telling us earlier how you're one of the sisters in your house to have played sport at a competitive level. Can you tell me if the competitive rivalry among your siblings spurred you on to probably play for the under-19 Irish team did that really like act as the driving force to kind of do that in the household, that I'm going to play, I'm going to be the best at the sport I've chosen, and I'm going to represent my country?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm extremely competitive and my sisters are exactly the same, regardless if it's sport or if it's not sport, anything we do, I think we're competitive with each other. And that definitely pushed us to be better at the sport that we chose to kind of focus in on. My eldest sister, Katie, played for the Irish volleyball team, was very successful in tennis. Also, my other sister played for Kildare in Gaelic football and Camogie. So seeing the two of them be so successful in the sports that they had chosen to kind of focus in on, I kind of wanted to follow in their footsteps. And I also wanted to be like, I can do one better if I tried. So I think when I started playing for Ireland under 15s level, under 16s, all the way up until senior level, they definitely were the pushing force behind me to kind of always spur to be better and to always push on.
Fantastic. And after playing for your country at such a young level, you decided at that time to go to America when you were 18. So how was that experience? And would you recommend other teenage girls in Ireland to take a pathway like yours?
Yeah, I think if anyone asks me that question, I always answer with saying that it was the best decision I ever made. At the time, I was 18, living at home. So moving to another country across the world is definitely a huge step for me, and especially at such a young age. But I definitely think it was worth it. It made me the person I am today, but it also grew me in different ways that I don't think I would have if I had stayed in Ireland. I had to grow up a lot quicker than I think I would have if I stayed and went to college locally. But it also gave me the opportunity to play football every day in a professional environment, but also being able to study and get my MBA.
Fantastic. And what would you say are the key differences on how sport is viewed in America versus, let's say, Europe?
It's a little bit different. I think just they start a little bit earlier over there, I think, in the development of players in terms of strength and conditioning. I don't think I was in the gym until I moved to America at 18, lifting weights, doing power and plyos. I don't think that was anything that I was kind of knew about when I was 16, 17. And I only kind of got into that when I moved over there. But then when I got there, the girls I had started playing with had been doing that since they were 15, 14. So I think that's why that they are so successful. The United States are probably one of the best teams in the world, and they dominate because I think they start early and they see the benefits of being in the gym and working yourself in that way.
Fantastic. Would you also say the girls in the United States are motivated because they know that somewhere the pathways towards sponsorship and towards media is probably the best in the world?
Yeah, I agree with that. I also agree with they probably had, when I was 14 and they're 14, I think they had a lot more role models to look up to.
Okay.
Obviously, like I said, the United States were dominating the World Cup and winning every kind of competition they went into. So they had these girls that they could look up to who were on the media, who were on the radio, who had advertisement boards around the country that they could look and say, oh my God, I can do that. You know, whereas when I was 14, I don't think I saw that many women being extremely successful and doing it as a career. Of course, there were definitely people at the time, but I don't think that they were promoted in the way that they do in the States.
Now, that's a great point, and that's a great insight from you around, I suppose, the difference between how the girls at a young age in America get their career going and similar to what you experienced when you were in Ireland. So that's a fantastic insight. Now, You spent 5 years in America. You just told us that it was a great experience for you and you would highly recommend it to everyone. But then in 2021, you get your first professional contract and you choose the United Kingdom this time. So with the London Lionesses, how did that transpire? And do you feel that today it's a good move for you?
Yeah, I think at the time I was coming back from the States during COVID and I was looking to play professional football. I was open to playing in Europe, the UK and in the United States. To be fair, I was very open to moving to any country. And at the time, Lisa Fallon, who's an Irish coach, was actually the head coach here at London City. And so I kind of got talking to her, and that's where the kind of conversation started about me kind of moving over to London and joining the Lionesses.
Okay, so that's the journey. Are you happy that you made the move away from America to United Kingdom? Do you think it's given you what your plan or what your aspirations being a professional footballer is? Do you think it's helping you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think even now, the WSL and the FA Championship are probably one of the most competitive leagues in the world. And especially with the media kind of push that's going on as well here in the UK, I think it's only progressed my career on and off the field. I definitely think the States is definitely an option for me in the future, because it's still a league that I would love to play in and to kind of experience that competitive environment that they have back over there. But right now, I think the English league is definitely pushing me in ways that I don't think I was pushed completely in the States, in terms of physicality, especially in the championship that I play in.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All good points. So this makes us go to the second segment of our program, which is really around discovering the mindset of a professional athlete. And, we talked about COVID. We talked about being a footballer that has to, play in different places of the world. How is it like adjusting to different places? And especially in the middle of there is an injury that you face. How does that change the mix? And, tell us a bit about this to start with, please.
Yeah, no, I think, like I said, I have no issues with kind of packing up my stuff and moving to another country and living in a new environment. I kind of thrive in that kind of situation. I love learning about new cultures and experiencing new ways of playing football, because I think it's different in each country, and each country has its own kind of special kind of thing about their league. And I think I really thrive in different environments. That's why I moved to America. That's why I moved to the UK. I want to experience as much as I can. And obviously last year, like you touched on, I had like a significant injury that kind of came out of nowhere. I dislocated my shoulder, but I had to go through surgery and I was out for about 6 months, which was devastating at the time because the injury happened around August. So I was out for, I think, 3/4 of the season last year, which was very disappointing. Obviously then I'm stepping out of Irish football, the senior Irish team as well. And then kind of pushing on from that, you have to do a lot to kind of fight back and kind of come back into the team, kind of come back into the Irish senior setup. And I'm lucky now, it's September now, but I'm back into both squads. But it definitely took a long time to kind of come back from that injury.
Okay. So it just shows that, I suppose, you've got adaptability, the flexibility to, stay and work in different regions. And also that you're mentally tough despite the serious injury. You are today back playing for your club squad as well as the Irish national senior team. So that's, is there some insight you want to share with our listeners? How do you, in this tough period, make yourself so mentally strong that you're able to, suddenly, see the fall and then come back and rise to the occasion and, find yourself in the place you want to be again. Tell us a bit about how you manage that journey.
Yeah, of course. I think initially it was very, very tough to have such a big injury happen with kind of out of nowhere, out of the blue. And it kind of takes away your season. I think that takes a toll on you mentally and physically as an athlete. But I think you just have to remember that you have goals and you have dreams and ambitions that you want to achieve. And you can either kind of fight back for it, or you can kind of hide away and allow it to kind of swallow you up. And yeah, the journey may not always be easy, but I think the end goal is always definitely worth it. So I think you have to remember that when you're going through an injury, that, yes, it's tough right now, but you will come out of it at the end of it and you will achieve your goals and your ambitions. And you just have to keep fighting through. And I think it's also important to have certain people around you who can kind of motivate you and inspire you to keep going, because obviously there's going to be days where you can't just do it by yourself. So I think I had that here at London City through my teammates, through the medical staff, my family. They all kind of helped me kind of push through too.
That's fantastic. Thanks for sharing and inspiring the listeners. I want to ask you a nice question now. My research again tells me that you're actually also an entrepreneur with your sister. So you have a business that you run with her. So tell us how hard it is being a professional footballer and running a business that you're passionate about on the side,
Yeah, no, definitely. I would say definitely difficult. Being a professional footballer is very time consuming in itself. with lots of stuff to kind of get done each day. But me and my sister kind of came up with this idea of, it's called Sleek and Easy, which is a hair finishing stick. It's basically for flyaways and baby hairs to kind of sleek them back and give that sleek look. I would give credit to my sister for coming up with the idea. My sister lived in Australia at the time, and through FaceTime calls with my family and that kind of stuff, we kind of got into talking about how we always have baby hairs and flyaways kind of flicking up everywhere. And my sister kind of came up with the idea of making a stick that can kind of tame them. So a lot of athletes nowadays and people use hairspray and gel and all this stuff to kind of slick back your hair. But we decided that we'd come up with a stick, almost like a mascara stick, that can help you do that on the go, nice and easy. So I'd give credit to her for coming up with the idea, but it's definitely time consuming in itself, but it's definitely quite rewarding as well. Kind of pushes you in ways that I definitely didn't think I'd be pushed if I was just playing football.
That's so fascinating. And I can understand how hard it would be to juggle between the two, but great to know. And it's also nice and endearing to know that you've gone into a venture with your sister. So, you know, previously you told us about the sibling rivalry, now your business partners. So it's really nice to know how that's shaped up.
For sure. But I think that competitive edge helps us both, because we definitely want to be the best at what we do, whether that's in creating websites or creating media content. I think we like to compete against each other to see who can get the better ideas. But I think that only brings us to the best kind of situation.
That's so super. That's such a nice story. And I think after this, I'd like to go to the third segment of this podcast, which is really around the opinions that you have around the world of sport. And well, the first question really is, because female sport still needs to come up as much as the men's sport in terms of pay, in terms of visibility, what is your insight on how to really remedy the situation? Because it's probably something that needs to happen at a grassroots level first, and then more mainstream. So do you have any opinions around that?
I think it's quite noticeable that there's a lack of female participation at a young age when it comes to like 14, 15, whether that's in PE or sport. I think that's mainly down to not having people to look up to or female coaches that they can kind of relate to. I think it's definitely 100% gotten better in terms of the media outlook, especially for what I've known firsthand, which is the senior Irish team. Through our sponsor Sky, they've done an amazing job through our media to kind of promote us and kind of show young girls that they can play football. I think that's definitely a key area to kind of fix that. I think it's important to kind of ensure girls that they can play highly at a career level. And that's definitely just getting them involved in sport and allowing them to kind of thrive in those environments.
Okay. Do you think the recent exposure of all the major tournaments like the Euro 2022, the Women's Six Nation, ICC World Cup in cricket, all of these in 2022, you know, the figures say that it's been transformational for women's sport, that there have never been these many people that have been watching. You know, 15 million people, saw the Euro 2022 tournament. So do you think this is now slowly but surely moving the envelope or pushing the envelope on female sport?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think for me, I saw firsthand the effects of the Euros here in London and in the UK. I actually went to the final myself, and to see that many people sitting in Wembley Stadium watching a women's sport is, I think for me, it was just, I had no words for it. I think it was amazing for every athlete watching or participating in that tournament. Because not only is it great for themselves to be able to say like, wow, we've kind of made it and we have like these enormous amount of fans and this media outlook, but it's also, there's a little girl sitting there going, I can do that. I can be that one day. I think that's such a great feeling for every athlete, for every women's professional athlete, that they can sit there and go, wow, we've actually kind of inspired the younger generation to kind of get involved. And I think that's just a credit to everyone involved in that and pushing the envelope, like you said.
That's absolutely what the world deserves. And that's exactly what, you know, women's sport deserves and what the world needs to kind of adapt to and push more towards, because we know it's unequal. And that's why things like this, with the digital world we live in, you know, how you know, the Euro 2020 can be consumed anywhere in the world. I think it's really encouraging to see that the trend is changing. And I personally am willing to bet that this is going to be the fastest changing aspect of sport in the next decade or so, that there's going to be more and more attention on the female sports side of things. And that's why, as you said, at an age of 14, 15, where the participation right now is slightly lower, I think they should be encouraged, because that's where the trend is going. And I think this is segues into something very nicely, which is around the marketability of athletes in the world. And currently the top three athletes that are marketable in the world are actually female. And that's really the power of the modern world that we live in. And the brands are also recognizing that. And what I'd like to come to now is a bit about your aspirations as a professional. Tell us what are some of the brands, you know, you believe are a good fit for you in terms of your personality, in terms of your values and their values. So are there any such brands?
Yeah, I think for me, keeping it more local and Irish related, I've always been a big fan of Connecticut and New Dimensions, which are Irish brands, like I mentioned. Connecticut is more of a protein kind of supplement based company, and New Dimensions is more of a athletic wear business. And I've through my actual business, Sleek and Easy, I met both owners of the company through an event that I was invited to through Sleek and Easy, which is called Move the Manor. And both those were sponsors at the time. And that's how I kind of got to know them more on a personal basis. And I kind of really, really like their ethos and their vision of what their company was. And both companies are wanting to get people up and moving and active. And like I said before, I think both of them have said that the journey may not always be easy, but it's definitely worth it. And I think both of them push that ethos through their media outlook. And that's something that I definitely agree with too.
Okay. What about some of the role models in female sport that have not only made it to the top of their game, but have also, you know, been at the receiving end of sponsors? Do you have any such examples that you want to follow or hope to follow and, you know, get support?
Yeah, of course. I think for me, I play on the same team as Katie McCabe, who's the captain of the Irish team, and seeing her be so tremendously successful is a great credit to herself through her own dedication and determination, but it's also inspiring for the rest of us on the team likewise to want to do the same. She's got sponsorships through Whoop. I think she's been sponsored with Puma. I think Cadbury's, etc. The list can go on, and it's great to see that from a female point of view, and also through a football side as well.
That's brilliant. And you are an athlete. The reason we're also having this chat with you is because you're an athlete listed with us on Sport Endorse on the platform. So all the sponsors, the national and the international companies that are listening to you, we want to tell them that you are available for promotional opportunities, for ambassador opportunities via the platform. So you want to tell us about some of the services you feel as an individual you'd be comfortable with. You know, like services that sponsors can you know, basically partner with you, and, you know, the kind of services, whether it's social media, whether it's giving a keynote speech, on those lines?
Yeah, of course. I think for me, I'm very open to many aspects of kind of promotion through, if that's through social media, through my Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. I'm very open to do it that way. I personally like to go and meet and greet teams and speak to young girls face to face. I think that's more beneficial for those girls to actually see you, to actually see you as a presence rather than just see you on social media. So I also like to do stuff like that. I'm very open to podcasts or chatting on news, on events, on like kind of like TED Talk type situations. So I'd be very open to all around situations.
Fantastic. And am I right in saying that you've also had a brush with television, where you were part of this BBC show called Ultimate Goal? Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I was on a TV show based up in St. George's Park here in the UK in the summer of 2020, just before I signed for London City. I was kind of casted onto that show, and it's more on the same lines of promotion of the women's game, and each kind of player had their own story. And I think six of us had our own episode in which we kind of spoke about ourselves and our story and what we want to bring to the game and what we want to promote. And luckily enough, I actually won the program. I was captain. We won the tournament at the end of the series. But that in itself was a huge experience for me. I don't think I ever thought I'd be going on to television, let alone like a 10-part episode series. But it was definitely a really, really fun moment for me.
Fantastic. Your experience being on a television show is a great check mark for the sponsor, because then they know how you are on camera, on TV, and that's something which is invaluable to them for all their campaigns, because brands want people that are authentic, that are able to tell their story and you know about the ethos and about the partnership on camera, on social media. And you seem to be open, willing to kind of activate those channels and support your partners. So as a parting shot, as a parting statement, would you like to say something to the sponsors, the 450 plus companies and the brand managers that we have on our platform? Do you have a message for them?
My only message is, like we kind of spoke about throughout the podcast, I think women's sport is growing and expanding so much, and it will continue to grow at such a fast intensity and speed. So I think it's an amazing opportunity for brands to kind of get involved in that way. And also from my point of view, I'm a footballer, and actually next week we have our World Cup qualifier against either Scotland or Austria to make the World Cup. So we could be making history next week. So it'd be great to have brands on board that want to support that and promote me in that way.
Super. Super. That's amazing. I actually wanted to ask you this question previously, but maybe we can put it. I want to put it out to you still, because it just struck me. Look, yes, there is a need for the support and for the sponsorship, but the people need to also realize the disparity and the problem. So would you for a minute be able to talk about the problems, the unfairness that you see that is visible, that why there is a stronger need for support for the women's sports than, you know, than the other way around?
For that one, it is from a football side. Obviously, the men's football has been tremendously successful for many, many decades and years and so on. So they have a source of fan base there that they've had for many years, and sponsorships that want to get involved in that. But I think that women's football, I like other sports as well, but I'm just going to take the football route. I think women's football can get to that level. I just think it needs to have that social media or media outlook as well. It needs to be promoted. It needs to be shown to people when they're walking down the streets, whether that's on notice boards or on big buses with females' faces on it, or radio stations and etc. I think it just needs that promotion so people can look at it and go, women's football can be just as big. So it's just important for these brands and these media sources to kind of see that and see the opportunity that they can kind of grab for themselves, but also to promote such a successful sport.
Yeah, I think that's a very valid point that you've made. And you've also not only appealed to the sponsors, but also to the fans in a way, because I think the world that we live in, the social media world that we live in, you know, the profile of the player is gauged also by the number of audience that, you know, are following them, right?
Yeah.
So I think you're also calling out to, you know, to people to continue to do like they're starting to do off late, you know, which is to fill out Wembley Stadium for a Euro 2022, similarly for other sports. I'd really like to thank you for taking out the time today, Hayley, telling us your story, you know, sharing all the anecdotes. Just really good to have you as a guest. And for all the sponsors tuned in, Hayley is available for partnerships and ambassadorships on Sport Indoors. So please let us know via social media by commenting on this podcast where you're listening to it, or talking to Hayley directly on the platform. So we really encourage you to support Hayley and the female sports in general, because that's where all the opportunity and the upside really is. So thank you so much, Hayley, for the time today.
And thank you for having me on. I've really enjoyed it.